Welcome to Geeks of the North, a hobby and gaming podcast in the Dolph of Angus. We're here to paint some miniatures and talk about the hobby, so why don't you sit back, relax, grab a paintbrush, and enjoy the show. Hey everyone, welcome to Geeks of the North, your hobby and gaming podcast in the Dolph of Angus. As always, I'm your host, Paul Filio. Here once again this week with my beloved co-host, Antoine Bergeron.
Hello!
How's it going, Antoine?
Good, I'm a being.
Woohoo!
Yeah. So for people who are not in the know, that's the first time since our last recording. So yeah. That's why I'm happy.
I feel like breaking into that Frozen song, you know, for the first time in forever.
Mm-hmm. If it was Steve, it would already been done.
In French, even. Yeah.
Yep.
Frozen is my greatest savior and my greatest bane. Because when the kids are being unruly and restless and crazy, put on Frozen, everything stops. They are enthralled. The downside is I have to listen.
Stop it.
Yeah, and I have to listen to every Frozen song like on perma repeat, and have for the last 2 years.
Mm. So when it came out, my son liked it, but it was not enough. My wife loved it, so. We were listening to the movie pretty often, but the soundtrack was also always on in the car, in the house.
It's it is a great film, a great animated film, a great soundtrack, you know, fantastic singing, musical compositions, excellent. But even with that, there's only so much any human can take of anything.
Yeah.
Between that movie and Greatest Showman, the Hugh Jackman movie from last summer or whatever,
mm-hmm.
Those soundtracks are pretty much all I ever hear now. Because I get in the car and my son will start screaming, "Greatest Show! Greatest Show!" My son can't even say his own name, but he knows how to say Greatest Show.
But why would he need to say his own name right now?
No, this is... Well, he can't say my name. He can't say much, right? He's being two and all. But, yeah. But yeah, all I have to say, Frozen. It's a thing.
It's a reference. And the tunes are so easy to plug and start to sing because, like, Let It Go or...
Yeah.
There's so many time it can be plugged into conversations that, and then people start saying.
Well, it's a common phrase, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, I was there. I played in a fantasy tournament with Steve once.
Mm-hmm.
Where during deployment, he would play Let It Go in French.
On the speaker or something?
On his phone or whatever. Yeah. We were at a tournament in the States at Adepticon, right? So it's not like anyone else understood what the hell the song was. I mean, they knew it was Let It Go.
Yeah, just from the sound.
Just from the tone, right? They knew the music, but they couldn't figure out why it was in French and why Steve was playing it. Hell, I was partnered with Steve, and I couldn't figure out why he was playing it. But I think he was kind of like in that same boat that I'm in now, where his kids played it nonstop, and it was just like he was one with the Frozen.
There's also the Steve effect.
Steve can be special at times. I liken him unto Rain Man. He's kind of the idiot savant of the group. No. But no, Steve loves being Steve. What was he sent us the other week in our Facebook chat, and I was like, why? Taxidermy fails.
Yeah.
Who else would we know that would follow a, you know, Reddit group or Facebook group or something dedicated, Twitter feed, dedicated to taxidermy fails?
That's a Steve right there.
That sums him up, right? And yep. He's not a... It's just odd because he's not a gruesome type of guy. Like,
nope.
But he just loves, like, things that are odd, I guess you could say. I don't know how else to put it.
It's a good way to put it.
Oh, well. We love him anyway. He is our Steve.
You love that and all the garbage food with too much sugar in it. Everything with limited edition on it or something like that.
Oh, yeah. Every variety of limited edition Oreos must be his. let me know if I go off mic. I actually have switched back to an older and different style of mic, which hopefully will provide better audio quality than my Yeti was. And
if you pay attention to where you are.
But I have to stay in front of the mic, so it's less forgiving because it's a directional mic.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying not to move around too much, but I tend to go all over the place while I paint, as I look for paints and things. Anyway. Yeah.
So what are you painting right now?
Well, right now, painting. I'm working on some Guild Ball, and back on that. I'm painting Fathom and Yukai from my fisherman team. Yukai is the new captain for the fish, and Fathom is a navigator's player that is multi-team, so she can play for my fisherman. She's considered to be one of the best strikers in the game. I can't seem to make her do anything, but I'm assuming the internet's right and I'm wrong, so I'm painting her. I told Steve I wasn't going to paint her because I thought she was useless, and I nearly gave him a heart attack. But then again, I'm often full of unconventional wisdom when it comes to Guild Ball, and I use the word wisdom lightly.
Well, sometimes play styles or just sheer random luck or bad luck makes the model not work for you.
Yeah, no, for sure. And it's just models. You know, it's like the angel thing, right?
Yep.
I was the only man in the universe that liked her, and Steve kept telling me, "Don't play her. Don't play her. She's terrible." And every game, I'd score 2 goals with her and be like, "How terrible is she again?" And he's like, "Yeah, but it's you." I'm like, okay, well, it's me, but I'm the one playing, so I guess it's okay.
On my side, I'm painting a garbage bag.
Okay.
That won't be long to do. So I have other terrain marker to work on, and after that, it's probably going to be back to Veteran Gutter. So some Guild Ball for me, too.
Yeah, you probably should have mentioned right away that that was a terrain thing.
Yeah. So Paul found a bunch of garbage bins and garbage cans and 2 vending machines as printable files. So he printed a bunch of them, and I'm printing them right now for Pulp City, or if we ever paint or Batman miniatures or any other modern or pulp models we ever play, but mainly Pulp City, to have stuff to throw out.
Yeah, we gotta have stuff to throw at each other, right?
Yeah, but it's not like we're missing stuff to throw at each other right now. I have a lot of it, and you just provided a bunch more. So right now what we're missing is more bigger buildings.
Yeah, well, maybe I'll pick up some stuff at Adepticon from Muse or something. They have the pre-painted MDF stuff, or the pre-colored.
Mm-hmm. Well, Muse do that too?
Yep, they start doing that because they all play Batman, right?
Okay.
So it's essentially a laser printed on MDF.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, there's other companies. I think Foregrounds does it or something like that too.
Could be.
Yeah. Well, another of the MDF terrain maker.
I know it's not particularly cheap from Muse. No, that's not a good color for this.
Yeah, I don't think any pre-printed MDF is cheap anyway.
Yeah. Not for sure. And I wasn't trying to imply that it was, you know, overpriced. It ain't cheap.
Oh, no, no, no.
Mind you, there will be a lot of like MDF guys here. So maybe I'll take a look first, because painting buildings is not exactly hard. We have airbrushes. So.
Mm-hmm. After that, it's how much detail and weathering you really want to do.
Exactly.
And how much is already painted on, so
yeah.
That might decide more if you want to invest in it or not.
Yeah, that's true. Sorry, I'm humming because I'm painting this model, and I don't know exactly what I'm painting. Like, I'm putting color on, but I have no clue what this is. She's got like a skirt thing on her leg, and it It's confusing me. There's some sort of detail in it, but I can't figure out what that detail is. So maybe I'll just move on to another part of the model and I'll try to see if I can find a painted one.
Yeah, to the internet.
Yeah. I'll be honest, I have not had much luck finding a well-painted limited edition Fathom. At least not with... I keep hitting my mic, that can't be good. At least not with good angles to a lot of the parts I'm having trouble with.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because they don't necessarily focus on the her leading leg from the backside behind her weapon. where the thing is that I'm trying to paint right now.
I wonder why.
Yeah, well, exactly, right? And I'm not expecting anyone to. That seems like an unreasonable expectation on my part. And I do my best not to have those.
Mm-hmm.
I don't always succeed. But I do my best.
So that's what we are working on right now. What have you worked on during the week?
Oh, boy. Hold on here. Let me finish mangling this one little section, and I'll talk about that. Yeah, I've had a pretty productive week or so, or week and a half at this point. I often go through periods where I don't really paint anything. Like, the year started super slow for me. And then currently I'm in overdrive. So this week I finished painting Cyan for Judgment.
Yeah, you were working on her last week.
Yeah, so that's one more model done. I mean, it's finished, not perfect, I think is the expression.
Mm-hmm. Which is not to the level of your Dunrakar. That's what you mean?
Yeah, and that's Dunrakar is not perfect either, but yeah. She's generally, I consider a lower, you know, a little bit lower quality paint job. The thing is, the figure is a lot simpler, too.
Mm-hmm.
Dunrakar really lends himself to kind of exploring the paint job a little bit. Cyan is an elf chick standing there and, you know, with a cool magic user pose on. So while she looks really cool, there's not a whole heck of a lot going on there that you can play with. So.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
But overall, I'm pretty happy. I wish I could say the same for what I'm doing right now. aside from that... Okay, hold on. Yeah, that more or less looks okay. All right. Aside from that, I've been playing some Guild Ball last week, and I played the Order, which are the kind of the churchgoers in Guild Ball, and they have a new rule they introduced last week, so I wanted to try it. And basically, they get to play with a second ball on the field, which is pretty cool.
But it's not a regular ball, so you have to differentiate it.
That's right. And it's a gentleman, I don't remember his name, had created a 3D file for a ball of light, which is what it is. And he designed it so you could actually put an LED in it, like one of those little T-light LEDs or a little 5-volt LED, and make it light up, which was really cool, but wasn't really something I wanted to do. So I took his file and I printed it as it was, with just no LED, and I mounted it on a base, and it looked really nice. But because it was sized to fit an LED, the scale's all wrong, and the scale was driving me nuts. If this was like a real soccer game, it'd be like the ball was the size of one of those giant inflatable beach balls. So it just didn't make sense. But I liked the look of his ball. The other thing about it was the way his ball rests, I guess you could say, is it's got kind of like knobs on each side of it, but it rests like perfectly on center, like with one knob facing up in the air and all the other knobs facing out at 90 degrees, which, and it's got bands around it, like straps, almost like a barrel in all the different directions, which means the ball would never sit like that. Right, it would be off balance, and it would just roll over onto its side.
Yeah.
And it bothered me that this ball wasn't like that. Because the design was fairly simple, I just redesigned the ball. Like, I just created a new file and designed another ball based off his, but at a smaller scale, resting at a more natural angle. And then I also designed it built onto its own base, Because every time I get one of these balls, or I, you know, get a ball of the team, I always have to try to find a 30mm base to put it on. So I just printed or made the file with the base already attached. And that came out pretty nice. I painted one up for the team. Also, 3D printing stuff. I printed a bunch of barriers and obstacles for Guild Ball using these little dirt golems that I found on Thingiverse. And because the miner team launched last week for Guild Ball, and the miners, of course, have like a drilling machine, a bunch of stuff, and running out of shovels. And I thought it'd be cool if the obstacle markers, all these little dirt golems that have been disturbed by the miners actually doing their thing, so they're kind of popping up on the pitch in the middle of the game. So I printed a bunch of those and started painting some.
Yeah, they are cool. Like when they were released originally, I almost put them in the news section of the show. I thought we skipped a week or something like that, and it was no longer news by the time we recorded that time. But yeah, they are cool.
They really, really are. I have to say, I didn't know they existed. So, and it's funny because it's an artist who designed them that I follow. Like, I look at a lot of his stuff because he makes some really, really cool things. And he's run a couple Kickstarters, and he has a Patreon, which I've more than once considered supporting.
Even more now?
Yeah, even more now. Yeah, so I'm printing those up and painting them. Obviously, painting Yukai and Fathom. I bought, recounting purchases as a hobby, because I like that rule. I bought playmats for Judgment, because they had a deal on them. So I bought some of those, and those are being delivered to Adepticon for me to pick up, so I don't have to pay international shipping, which is good. Also for Guild Ball, I picked up last year at Nova Open some Spellcrow small resin terrain pieces. One was like an obelisk, and the other one was like a gnarled tree. And I thought they were a good size for Guild Ball, so I picked those up, and then I found them in a bin this week, so I painted those. And I painted, in that same bin, I found some other scattered terrain fences, crates, and other small things, so I painted that as well. And because I printed those little dirt things, dirt golems for Guild Ball, I started looking through the other dirt golem files, and I realized there's enough to make a Frostgrave warband. So I'm at this very second printing up a Frostgrave warband on one build plate in my printer. the loam wizard made me giggle, so I had to. So, and I get some cool ideas for little bits of character I can add to them. So I think it'll be neat. I think that was it. So yeah, that's it for my hobby. Do we want to talk about your hobby? Or do you want to go into my games?
We can go to my hobby. There's not a lot. Well, since last week, I have not done really much hobby per se. Tonight before recording, I primed the bunch of terrain I already mentioned. And I also, the only thing I did, in fact, this week was I green stuffed the gaps in Cruel, the Judgment Orc I have. And tonight I primed him. Since I primed him, I was getting to the skin, but I won't do airbrush during the show. So I did that. I did about 5 minutes of sculpting to patch up something I screwed up on the commission piece I'm working on. And that's about it with models. The rest, I've been doing a lot of casting. Still, to get on par, to get ready for Adepticon. But now I have my box ready. I have my display almost finished. All my miniatures have been put into small baggies by my wife and my daughter. So they lended a hand to help with that.
And nice.
My wife helped me redesign my logo. I've been doing the Zanyan sketch I had previously as a logo, so he's been vectorized and modernized. So I'm in more like a seller prep than hobby mode right now, which means all the stuff I wanted to have for Adepticon has been on pause, because of work, because of the house stuff, and because of the sculpting and casting. So sadly, I, with only 2 weeks left, I don't think I'll be able to have anything prepared for Crystal Brush. I had some ideas, maybe two or three entries. I wanted to do small stuff, so it wouldn't have been that hard. But even then, I'm not sure I'll be able to even do that.
That sucks.
Yeah. Yeah, I had a lot of plans, and almost none of them came out came out well, except the casting of my own miniatures. So at least that part worked.
Who knows? Maybe we can get you there again next year. Maybe things will work out. never know what the future holds, Anton.
No, for sure. Oh, by speaking of Adepticon and my miniatures, I have the boot number where my stuff will be.
Oh, nice.
Yep. It's boot 709. 709. So that's the M3 Studio boot. And I will have a small display on the corner of his table with my Zonian miniatures there. So look for a bright green and purple onion on a small white display.
The purple again, eh?
Yep. I choose purple because of my purple fetish.
It's a fetish now, is it? Well,
no, not really, man. A hobby fetish, let's say. Yeah, and most of the miniatures have been cast in purple. I have some older cast that I'll bring still, so I have some white and gray, but most of it is purple, so it ties in with the cast. So that's fine. I haven't got a transport box, purple transport box for my stuff. Yeah. So, and I'll be at the boot myself two or three times during the weekend. So if people want to talk with me, I'll be happy to talk with anybody I can meet during the weekend, but finding the French Canadian through the one of the French Canadian, a specific one during the show, might not be easy. So I'll just give away the time I'll be at the booth, so that might be easier to, if people want, for I don't know why, talk to me specifically. I'll be at the booth Thursday from start to noon. Friday from 2 to 4. Or from noon to 4. Something like that. And Sunday from start to noon also. So most of the time, just before or around noon. On 3 of the 4 days.
Okay. Well, I'll know where to find you then.
Yeah. Well, we have a shared spreadsheet with all that info in it. So, yeah. So you would already know how.
This is true. We also are sharing a room, so.
Yeah, but that's only during the night.
Well, what else would I be looking for you, buddy?
It depends. Depends how much French you want. There's G, if you want more French than just Canadian French.
Well, that's true. He might be a little too French for my taste, though. Sorry. Sometimes it's so hard to resist you. All right. So that is your.
That's your, it. Quote, that's unquote, my hobby. Yeah. Yeah. Cutting NDF, casting, miscasting a lot. For people who want cheap miniatures and can handle working putty, I will have a big box of miscast. So you can pick whatever you want in it for a buck during the show. So some of the miscast are like, there's just a bigger bubble that I cannot pass over. So they went to the miscast box. So if you want cheap stuff and are not afraid to just fill up some gaps, you can get the cheap purple miniatures.
My favorite kind.
Yeah.
Oh,
That was my plug.
Okay. That's fine. Plug away. You are always welcome to plug on our podcast, Antoine.
And that's it for real this time for my hobby. So your games, Mr. Paul.
Yeah, I played a bunch of Guild Ball last week. Sorry, I'm kind of cursing here because I just slipped with paint over a color I just finished. So I was like, oh, that wet blend's awesome. Now let me ruin it by running another color. Yeah, so I played a bunch of games of Guild Ball. I played last Wednesday against our buddy Little Antoine, who was my teammate, actually, at the New England team tournament. And he was playing Farmers. And I have not really played Farmers since last year, since the last edition of the game. And they'd gotten buffs last week in an errata. I did not quite realize how brutal they would be in close combat. And I got victimized for it. it was a good game. I had lots of fun. The scars should heal soon. But it was pretty ouchy. But that's okay. That's okay. I don't remember what the final score was. It was probably something like... Oh, actually, no. I think I started okay. So I think it was 12-8 in the end.
Oh, that's not too bad.
Yeah. Well, I think I started off strong, and then I just lost the ball and couldn't really get it back, and couldn't generate momentum, so I was, like, momentum starved the whole game.
What were you playing?
I was playing Fish.
Oh, yeah.
So he was playing a Grange lineup, and I was playing...
Yukai,
yeah, Yukai. Yukai, Fathom, Angel, Vetsakana, Tentacles, and Grayscales. First time playing Yukai. Cool captain. I had no idea what I was doing. and I hadn't played Fish in almost a year. So I went in with like the wrong type of mindset, so it didn't work out well. And then on Friday, I played two more games. Our buddy Daniel Arsenault came over. He ventured out to my house. And we played a couple games here. So I played one game against his morticians with my fishermen. And I won that. I don't remember what the score was. Probably 12-7 or something for me. I don't think he scored more than one goal. Maybe it was higher. No, it doesn't matter. So I won that. And then, you know, being my second game with Yukai, I played him much better, I found. And I managed to pull off a couple of shenanigans with him that left Daniel frustrated and not necessarily frustrated in a bad way, but he was just like, oh, what the hell? You know?
Yeah, gotchas,
exactly. But I did explain what everyone did before the game. So
yeah, but seeing it done isn't it the same?
Yeah. And then we re-racked two new teams, set up a new board, and he played his blacksmiths versus my order. And it was a much closer game. It may have been like 12-10 for me in the end. Or it was 12-10 or 12-8, anyway. The amount of jank that team has is hilarious.
The order. Was it your first game with the Ball of Light, the new ball?
Yeah, it was my first game with them in Season 4. So, the ball shenanigans are hilarious. The fact that I missed most of my passes probably made the game last longer than it should have, because I kept flubbing stuff. But it was a fun game. You know, great opponent, and it was nice because I don't really get to play him. His schedule, he's a teacher, so he starts early, which means he plays early on game night. And, you know, he goes home usually about the time where I'm arriving. Because he also lives, he lives in the west like I do, but he lives farther out. So, yeah. It's a long drive for him. And he gets up at crazy o'clock in the morning to go to work.
Yep.
So, I get it.
That's why I play with Daniel only during the summer, when I have my Friday off. That's the only time I'm able to play with him.
Yeah, it's, actually, yeah, because he has summers off, eh, being a teacher?
Yep.
That's a clever plan. I like it. I'm going to steal that plan.
Yeah, you are off most Fridays, so that might work out for you too.
Yep.
We can have we would need just a fourth person with Friday off, and we could have some gaming Fridays.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say we're just going to need a schedule. Like, we're going to share him, you know?
No.
like divorcees with their children, right? Yeah. Every second Saturday, every second Friday is mine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's not where I was going.
Yeah, but, you know, great opponent.
He's fun to play again.
Yeah. And it was funny. Daniel's a Francophone, and I'm obviously not, though I do speak French. But it only dawned on me, I think, after he left that day that I don't think at any point in the day I spoke French, and at no point in the day did he speak English. He can speak English, absolutely, and he speaks it very well. But it just never... I mean, he knows I speak French, so I guess it's never occurred to us. But it was pretty funny. One of the coolest things about gaming in Quebec. I mean, there had to be some advantage to being here, I suppose.
Yeah, it's not the snow for sure.
No, not the snow and not the politics.
Well,
we're not a political podcast.
No, no, we're not. So
let's not go down that path again. I don't want to get chastised by a listener again.
No. No more political reviews of the show.
Yep. That still scars me.
Yeah.
Mind you, I still think it's funny.
Yes, it is, but... Yeah, whatever.
Oh, yeah. This is not going well. I've got a little tool from Reaper Miniatures to unplug dropper bottles.
Hmm.
But
isn't that just called a toothpick?
Well, it's a metal pin with a skull on the end to hold it by.
Okay.
And it's the diameter of a dropper bottle, right? It's the perfect diameter.
Yeah.
And they sell them for a couple bucks. Yeah. I picked one up at a show once because I needed something to unplug my dropper bottles. But for some reason, it is not working. I think at one point I unplugged the dropper bottle of this thing, but I think the needle must have gone sideways and gone through the plastic of the nozzle.
For that specific bottle.
Yeah, for that specific bottle. So it's... every time I try putting the needle in, it's like deflecting to the side.
Hmm.
Okay, brute force one today. I just now have multiple holes in that nozzle, I guess. It'll be fine.
Yeah. On my side, I had no game. I set up to do some more solo play of Anerial, and it didn't pan out. I didn't have the time to do it.
We were supposed to play a game.
Yeah, we were also supposed to play a game, but it didn't happen.
Yeah, I wouldn't shut up long enough for us to play. That'll be a waste
of time. I was talking too, so it was a fun evening, but it was not a gaming evening. We need some of those once in a while too.
Yeah, we'd had long days, so.
Yeah. But my table is still set up, so hopefully I'll be able to try it out this week. I've reread some of the rules and found a scenario that will be good to try out the game. The only bad part with it, like a bunch of other games, I could easily solo play. But that one has a combat. You have a secret mechanic in it, so you need to decide how many offensive stone and defensive stones you pick in your combat pool.
Kind of hard to do that if you know what you picked for the other side, eh?
Yeah, so the first time I did it, I was just doing half and half. But you're losing part of that mind play game when doing it solo.
Yeah. It's like people that play chess solo, and I'm like, I don't understand how that works.
Yeah, but with chess, you could just go for optimal move, maybe. But I don't see how I could go optimal with picking attack values.
I get you.
Yeah, that's why I mostly went half and half, or if there was a clear advantage, I move more offensive or defensive, depending on the case, but most of the time it was just 50%. It made it a bit weird. I must be honest.
Yeah, I can imagine so. Yeah, well, let's face it, these games are designed to be multiplayer, right? So,
yes and no. Like, I want to try out, what's the name? Rangers of Shadow Deep.
Yes. Yes.
And not mainly to play solo, but to play co-op. But to try out the game and learn it, I'll use the solo part. But it's to find a fantasy skirmish that I can play with my son to introduce him to more of the mini side and not just board game rules. And we could, like, it doesn't need a lot of miniatures, so he could choose the minis he wants to use for his own rangers and his own team. So I have the PDF. I need to read it and get it to the table.
I've heard nothing but good things.
Yeah.
Is that also Osprey?
No, it's the same author as Frostgrave, but he self-published that one, I think. I don't know if there's a physical version or just a PDF.
I don't know.
If it's just a PDF, it's easy to self-publish. If there's a physical book, I don't know who's the distributor, the publisher.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've watched a couple of Hash Barkers from Gerudo Miniature.
Some playthroughs you did?
Yeah, some of the playthroughs. And read some of the reviews of the game. So, what I might be missing is some of the generic monsters, but I'm sure I could find some possible proxies or find cheap plastic, like Dungeons and Dragons miniatures or stuff like that to fill out.
Yeah, I know a guy. I think he could help you with that stuff. That's cool. Yeah, I keep one of my buddies is. Oh, that's totally not what I thought it was. Sorry, the realization that the thing you thought you were gonna paint like a lantern isn't a lantern. I don't really know what that is though.
Might it just be a strange lantern?
No, it's the thing on Yukai that the bird on the left is carrying. You can't see it on their factory or on their web store pictures because they broke them on the web store model. But it's got like a thing he's carrying. I thought it was like a lantern, but it's not. It appears to be like maybe water buckets stacked one on top of the other with. Yeah, it's really weird. He seems to have a lot of weird stuff on him.
Yeah, well, the small accessories.
The model is pretty busy.
Yeah, except Morn. The other three captains are really busy, all of them.
And I'm not trying to imply it's necessarily a negative thing. It's just a fact.
Yeah. Like, Killbomb model are already pretty busy.
Yeah. They're the Robley Field miniatures of of the gaming world. Pouches everywhere. Belts everywhere.
Belts. Belt buckles everywhere.
Like, I don't know why they need bandoliers. There's no guns, but everyone's got them, essentially.
Yeah.
But I guess that makes for interesting models to paint, to all these little details.
Mm-hmm.
I know not everyone would agree with me that makes it interesting, but I'm trying to be positive here, folks.
Yeah.
But what I wouldn't give for some artwork for this guy.
But there's artwork, no?
Well, there's card art, but I don't think it shows full body, right?
I'm pretty sure we saw it in one of the videos, or there's probably a still of it, the full art. But that's not something you can just find out super quick. There's probably some digging to be done.
No, I'll go searching then. Because some of the details are pretty soft. So like there's a bunch of ropes or something all mashed together. I can't see what's what.
Which is pretty strange for a resin model.
Yeah, but the resin's pretty soft.
Okay.
Like, Yukai's got a lot of flex and give to him. I'm going to try blackwashing the area to see if I can't...
make the detail pop?
Yeah, more clearly define what the heck it is I'm looking at. Yeah, that's helping. Because his staff is kind of like a... a shrine priest staff with the, like, the big metal ring with the small rings wrapped around it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean, right? The Japanese monk staff.
Yeah, it rings a bell.
But there's also, like, birds on it, and fish hanging from one end, and buckets hanging from the other. It's just weird. So, I'm not taking anything for granted. Those crazy Steamforge guys. Doing their crazy Steamforge things. All right. We're rambling.
Yep.
We're almost, we're like 45 minutes in, and we've rambled a lot. So, we don't actually have a topic, right?
No, we don't.
So you want to talk about some news items, and we'll see where the conversation takes us? Okay.
Sure. I'll start with an easy one that we don't have much info about yet, but we'll talk about it next week, too. I just want people to be able to jump in early. By the time of of release, our friend Thierry Hussard from TH Miniature will have launched his new Kickstarter for his Swamp series of terrain. So he has been raising teaser of the pieces in the past weeks, and he's launching on Thursday. So maybe not on the release, but on the release day, the Kickstarter will be up probably later in the day after we've released the show. But you can go check it out. The pieces are really good. And just judging from other pieces we have from previous set, the quality and the sculpting is super good. So he's just gotten better since then. He got better equipment too for his casting. I've been talking with him a bit. So it's really worth it. And usually the prices are pretty good. And with the Kickstarter, it's even better than the regular release retail price. So I can only vouch for him.
Yeah, we had a lot of stuff for the gaming club, right, Ryan?
Yep. We bought a lot of it. He was one of our sponsors from last year, Guild Ball, the National. So we gave out some of his terrain at that time. He's sponsoring us again this year, too. So I'm happy to chat about his pieces. And even without the sponsoring, I would still be talking about it. Because
he's a local. Yep. He's a good guy for the community, mm-hmm. and he makes good products. So there's no reason not to talk about it, right?
Yeah, and he's happy to help, either at shows or to just give tips and chat. So super good buddy. So look at that. I won't put a link in the show notes this time, so you'll have to look for TH Miniatures on Facebook or on Google, and I'm sure you'll find a link to the Kickstarter at that time. But next week, we'll be able to talk more fully about it, because we'll have the up Kickstarter campaign running, so we'll have a list of the different items available and stuff like that. So we will be talking about it again next week.
Cool.
So after that, by talking about Kickstarter, we have a Kickstarter by Gribo Games called the Cutie Malls, the Northern Clans. So Gribo usually do Blood Bowl proxies, and in some of the recent Kickstarter, they add like side miniatures, just additional stuff for cute small animals, but they were add-ons to the bigger teams. This time they decided to go all in, and it's five teams, or I think with the unlocks it's more than that now, but it's all teams of cute, small, round, chibi animals for any type of team you want. So they have the Ursulf's teams, which are probably like Norse. They are small, cuddly, round bears. They have penguins, which are they call them the Pin Kings. They are kind of Vikings penguins. There are walruses, that they're the Dwarlus team. So dwarf walrus. There's two walrus splayers instead of slayers with their mustaches painted orange.
Okay, hold on. I'm loading this because...
There's the P-Orcs we already mentioned in the past because they were part of a side project, but now they're fully into it.
Oh, frig. These things are amazing.
Elkitons for Warrior of Chaos. The Ogbringer, which are a bunch of mutated rabbits and goats, which are Nurgle teams. They're Chaos Fluffers, which are small, still rabbits and goats. Like mutated beast, pretty beastmen, like mutated rabbits with horns. There's so many cool miniatures. Okay,
listeners, if you have no interest in Blood Bowl and no interest in chibi miniatures, you still have to go look at this. This thing is amazing.
Yeah, one of the amazing part, if you look at the bears, the balls are small. I kind of don't want to say the name in French because it sounds like a bad word.
Baby seals.
Seals. Yeah, baby seals. The balls are baby seals. And they're gnawing on them or playing with them. It's so cool.
Yeah, that's... I don't even know what to say.
Yeah, and we're not the only one to think that because the project is doing amazingly well. We're looking for 2,000 euros. They are now at over 62,000 euros. The project was not long. By the time of release, there will be only 6 days left to go. So don't wait too long once you hear about it. Run to it, pledge, get some cute animals, whatever you do with them. I'm sure they could... Like, if you don't take the one with balls, they could also fit well for a small Frostgrave Warband like Paul was doing with the Mudmen. Or they could proxy with a bunch of other stuff. They would mix well with other chibi miniatures out in the market too. So lots of ways to find use for them.
Yeah, they are awesome looking. I can't stress that enough. Wow.
Yeah. Really nice.
I mean, he always has really nice stuff.
Yeah.
And I have zero interest in Blood Bowl, and I always look at his miniatures thinking, I wish I'd like Blood Bowl, because I would buy his stuff.
Yeah, me too. And it's for the first time I'm almost thinking about still pledging. And maybe just playing Blood Bowl just to play them. That and the new halflings. The new halfling teams by Game Workshop, they were just teased. They're not out yet, but they are looking good.
Yeah, you played halflings before, didn't you?
Yeah, I still have them. That's my only painted the Blood Bowl team.
Yeah, I played the vampires, or I tried. That team was terrible.
I was playing halfling. I can't comment on any other terrible team.
Yeah, well, my problem was that the team was inconsistent, right? You'd have games where they did really well, and then the next game you'd roll really badly and the vampires would leave the field and go out for a bite, which meant they were attacking the crowd or whatever. The problem was that the players left in the field, the thralls, are like so bad without the vampires.
It's just... Yeah. It's not a team I've played against in the past, so I don't know the rules.
Yeah. I just remember, this was a long time ago, of course. I played them back in college or whatever, or just after, and it was not a joyous experience. And Blood Bowl is, you know, a long game, or it was at least. Maybe it's faster now.
So the game has not sped up, but there are variants, faster variants.
Well, isn't there like a new variant that just people have started playing?
Yep.
Okay. Well, to say, you know, when you're playing the default variant or the default rules and things go poorly early on, it's a long 3 hours. Just leave it at that.
Yeah. Okay. So going from cute animals, we are keeping the animal team, but we are leaving the cute part out. So the next item I want to talk about is by RNE Studio. So that's, if I remember correctly, it's a Spanish sculpting studio. They do 3D miniatures. When we were doing the new show, we talked about them multiple times. They do mostly fantasy stuff. They're doing independent, like individual characters. And usually they are really nice. Often they do limited runs, so we were not talking about them that often. But this time they are just out. So what they are, it's the series called The Animal Explorers. It's five anthropomorphic adventurers. A snake lady, a wolf, a cat, and a crocodile. All of different variety. And they look good. They are really...
they do the poses.
Dynamic pose.
Yep. The Wolverine crocodile guy is kind of hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah, those are like 32, 35 scale miniatures. They're generic size, either for war games or RPGs. They ship on 25 rounds, 25 meter round bases. Pretty good. The models are pretty big compared to the bases, so they are on the tall side of thing. And they each, most of them are 16 euros, except the crocodile, which is a bit more at 18. Or you can get the full pack for 60. So they're not cheap individually, but they are big. They're going to be a nice casted resin, so you'll have nice, well-detailed miniatures.
They're not cheap. They're not hideously expensive either for what they are.
No. So they're not extraordinarily expensive, but they're not on the cheap side like we see sometimes with other British Spanish company like Ma Miniatures, which do incredibly cheap stuff.
Yeah.
On the price side, I don't mean about the quality.
Yeah. Well, yeah, cheap doesn't necessarily mean quality, yeah. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Like incredibly affordable miniatures.
Yeah, that is a better way to...
Yeah. So, the RN ECDO are more of the boutique style. So, tons of detail, low number of release, instead of like a mass fantasy army release. And lastly... model by Creepy Tables. It's a dryad bust. I removed one. That's why.
Oh, okay. No problem.
Yeah, so this is a 1/10 scale bust. It also comes with a print when you order it. It's on pre-order right now. It will start shipping like next week, so it's gonna be a little fast. It's a limited run. There's only 50 kits available. So you go fast. What it is, it's a dryad. Well, I think dryads are female by default. So
yeah, they're all female.
She looks more plant-like than tree-like. Like the Warhammer Fantasy dryads have been like really tree people. Or she's more of a generic vegetation dryad, I would say. Like she has her ears are huge leaf. She has a flower on her head.
Her clothes are made of tree bark.
Yeah. And she is holding it's a hedgehog, right?
Is it a hedgehog? Yeah, I give it a hedgehog, yep. I had to wait for the model to rotate so I can see.
Yeah, she's holding, I think, two, in fact. Two hedgehogs.
Yes, there appear to be a pair of hedgehogs.
Yeah. So she's a nice model. She would probably be interesting to paint because you can do so much with the vegetation on her, yep, color-wise. And you have the hedgehog to add either a natural touch, like by doing more crazy, like autumn color on the plants, but you just go generic browns on the hedgehog, or you could do the reverse and paint her more regular and go crazy on the color on the small creature.
Yeah. Plus there's all that bark on her and stuff, so there's just a lot of detail potential there.
Yes. Yeah. So it's a really nice model. As we've mentioned, there's not many available. The cost is 49 euros.
Which doesn't really seem out of place for what it is.
No, not for the size and for the fact that it's so limited. So I think that's a pretty good price.
Yeah, I would agree.
And that's it for the releases I wanted to talk about. So three releases and a preview.
It's been a while since we had that many items to talk about, actually.
Yes, it was.
So. Mind you, that's usually by intent as well. But.
Yeah, we don't want to fill the show with that. We were doing that before, and that became tedious to do.
Unless, of course, we have nothing else to talk about. In which case, we can fill the show with that.
Yeah, that's a bit what we did today.
That was kind of my point, yeah.
Yeah. So, how did your model advance tonight?
I'm having some trouble. Let's just put it that way.
Oh, that's not good.
No, it's... I don't know what's going on with, like, some of the Yukai stuff. So painting it is difficult, because I'm looking at it, I'm like, why are there random straps around the staff? I'm like, maybe they're not straps, maybe they're metal loops, but they seem to be resting like they were leather straps. But they're not really, like a hand grip or anything. It's like, let's randomly wrap a piece of leather around one end, and then another piece of leather 3 inches away from that for no reason. Like, sculptor's prerogative. I feel like putting a piece of leather there, so I will. So, trying to figure out what I'm painting is proving to be challenging. Maybe it's time for a little break, too. I painted this guy a lot today. He and Fathom got a lot of work done on them. I would say I've probably got another maybe 2 hours max, and then they're both done. So it's not bad.
Yeah.
And I'm also kind of at an impasse with the birds and the fish that he's carrying. I got no idea what color to paint fish or birds.
Yeah, I think it's time to take a break and look at reference pictures or the illustration for him. And yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. But I will paint Moana's fish hook. I mean, Fathom.
It's funny. It's the Moana variant, for sure.
Yeah. Well, my daughter recognized it right away.
As she should.
Yeah. She's like, hey, that's Maui's fish hook. Like, yeah, you're not wrong. She's like, where's Maui? I'm like, there is no Maui. And I'm like, well, actually, that's not true. There is a Maui. I don't have that team. So she's like, well, you're going to get it, right? Like, no, I'm not. But then she was kind of annoyed at me because, you know, can't have Maui or you can't have Moana without Maui, right?
No, especially if she has his work.
Well, exactly. And then it came all kinds of weird questions about Maui and Moana's relationship and did they get married? Did they have kids? I'm like, I don't know. Like, you saw the movie. I don't think they're together in the movie at the end. They're friends.
No, I don't think so.
Like, they're friends. That's it. Yeah, but, you know, she should really have Maui's, you know, kids. I'm like, maybe she doesn't want to have Maui's kids. Well, why wouldn't she want to have kids? This is a complicated conversation to have with a 5-year-old. Okay, wait, Muriel, is that a new Barbie? What? Yeah, let's talk about that instead. When I look at my wife for help, you know, get me out of here. I'm a father, I'm not supposed to be the one having serious conversations with my child. I've seen enough 80s TV to know that. I'm here for comic relief and nothing else.
Yeah. It's a nice way to think about it.
That's what I signed up for. You can't take that away from me.
Yeah, I don't think that's what you got, but still.
Don't poo-poo in my Cheerios.
On my side, I'm happy to say I finished painting a garbage bag.
I was going to say, did you finish the garbage bag?
Yeah, almost right away when I talked about it first. And I've been doing some small progress on gutter.
It's like, achievement unlocked, garbage bag painted.
Yep. Yeah. And I lined the big beverage dispenser. I never remembering the right word.
Vending machine.
The vending machine.
I had no idea what a beverage dispenser was either for a second there. Like, oh, wait, the vending machine.
But I'll need to airbrush the red on it. So there's a tiny work on all the stuff I had out, but nothing completed except the garbage bag.
Yeah, well, I think the vending machine was done at 0.2 resolution, which means, airbrush is really the ideal thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And you can brush paint, but it's more challenging.
Yeah, already I did some Zenitel and it catched
the ridges.
The ridges a lot. So for the red, I'll be more direct to cover some of it.
Yeah.
I need to remember that when I paint 3D printed stuff.
And let's be just perfectly clear here. It's a FDM. It's not a resin printer.
Yeah. We wouldn't have the same challenge if it was resin.
Yeah. I know. I'm letting you down, buddy. I'll get on.
Oh, that. Yeah. Free terrain, free cool terrain, and I won't complain for sure. All I'm waiting on is for you to get your Pulp City miniatures and we can start playing.
Yeah, well, I get the impression that whenever they arrive, it won't take me long to paint them.
No, hopefully. And if they take their time too much and they're not there by Adepticon, right when we get back from the Ticken, I'll paint my second team.
Yeah, I was really hoping to have them by Adepticon so I could take them there and paint them.
Mm-hmm.
Because I usually do a lot of painting at Adepticon.
Yeah, I don't know if I'll be doing much on my side. My schedule seems busy, but I'll at least bring some stuff to work on.
Pardon me.
Or sculpting. Or both. Still, we're four guys in the car, so I'll limit myself.
Well, the thing is, not all of us needs to bring paints and stuff, right? So, if I bring 30, 40 jars of paint, I mean, I probably have the colors you want or something similar. Yep. Unless you've got magic colors, you know. If you have a 20-year-old bottle of, you know, whatever, some random GW color doesn't exist anymore, I obviously can't help you with that.
Deadly Nightshade.
Yes, exactly. Then I can't help you with that.
No.
Now, that being said, any recent P3 paint or whatever, or, you know, the more common GW magical washes, I'll have, so.
No, I paint all by mix anyway, so.
Yeah, whatever I know.
Colors is there. It's going to work.
Mr. Fancy Pants.
No. It's Mr. Too Lazy to mark down and always have to mix because there's no color that fits.
Yeah, I hear you.
It's not being fancy.
I have a similar situation.
Yeah, being my own worst enemy.
I was painting a Yukai and Fathom to match my pre-existing fisherman models.
Mm-hmm.
And I just realized that while talking to you, I stopped doing that and I started like adding more highlights, pushing contrast, like detailing stuff that isn't detailed on the other, you know, 14 models in the team.
Yeah, like the gutter I'm working on right now, that's one of the reasons why she's taking so long, is I can't color match with my other butchers.
Well, yeah. At least I wrote down the colors for my fish.
Yeah, I didn't do that.
I was smart enough this one time to do it. So that's good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm like, oh no, it needs more contrast. Push more. So I'm like highlighting now in white on the blues to really make it pop. Except it just dawned on me, I didn't do that on any of the other ones. So now these guys are going to look different than the rest of the team. In fact, they even look different than each other because I did things differently. One I did one way, one I did another because I couldn't remember. Or rather, I'd written down what I'd done. I'm like, oh, that can't be right. I must use this other color instead and just marked it down wrong. No, it turns out I'd marked it down right. So yeah, my blues aren't quite the same. And yeah, they're nothing. Oh my goodness, they're nothing alike. Oh well.
Yeah, that will be problematic for me when I paint my navigators. If I want to match them to Angel and Siren.
That you painted from your
just the starter set, for right? the demo set, yeah, that they won't fit. I did a simple job on them, so at least in that case, I think I have a main color straight from a pot without too much mix. That might save me, but it's just a might. I'm not sure.
Well, I guess that's a story for another podcast.
Yep. Oh, yeah, because I'm not even near getting to paint them.
Yeah, but also we are rambling something fierce.
Yep, yep.
So, sir, it has been a pleasure as always.
Yes, it has.
And I look forward to seeing you again next week.
Yeah, and bye, geeks.
Thanks for listening to Geeks of the North. If you want to contact us, you can email us at geeksofthenorth@gmail.com. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/geeksofthenorth, or follow us on Twitter at Geeks of the North. You can follow me, Paul, at PRFilio, Antoine at Eltonio Berg, Steve at B_Steve, and if you really feel the need, I guess you can follow Yom. He's at Yomasta. Breaks and outro music by LaDrave. You can listen to them at ladrave.bandcamp.com. See you next time, geeks.
Thank you for checking out United Geeks Network Family Member. If you enjoyed it and are looking for other online media with a geek culture slant, head over to UnitedGeeksNetwork.com, where you will find the Gaming Careers Podcast, the resource for people looking to find their fit in the gaming industry. You will hear game industry professionals talk about how they succeed in today's competitive environment and how you can do the same. The United Geeks Network. You can broadcast your geekiness at UnitedGeeksNetwork.com.